Okay. I'm excited about the word today. Always excited to bring the word. New series. We're calling it Light It Up. And this is really part one of a series that's coming. And Matthew 5:14, this is our theme verse for this year. And if you look up above, out in the lobby, how many of you looked up above when you were out there and you saw a different sign? Did anybody look up? I got one, two, three. Wow, all of us that came in, nobody looked up. So it's right. I don't blame you. I don't either. It's out those double doors. You just got to raise your head about 2 inches. There you go. There it is. It's beautiful. And here's what the scripture says. You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So as I thought and prayed about this new year, with all its challenges, for we as a church and we as individuals, I found myself at a point where my thought was, let's not just think about staying strong. Let's grow. Let's have exponential growth, no matter what happens. Let's grow as a church. Let's see many more people saved, many more people being discipled. Let's do it together. And this passage of scripture just seemed to ring clear and strong in my spirit. So Jesus is saying in the scripture that we're to be a light to the world. And I often think of our church up here as a light to our community. You know, you have that picture in your mind. We're up here, up above, and we can see down on our community. And it's a nice picture. It's a nice thought. But just a nice thought won't get us very far. And I began to think of all that we do here at Bethel. All that we do to try and be that light to our community, because that's what we want to do. I think all of us want to be that. So I just began to list some things. So I'm just going to talk about different things that we do. So we as a church, we do Sunday services, I think, really well. I think we've done Sunday services well for a long time. It's a focus for us. It's a priority, and I think that, you know, we have good teaching, consistent teaching we have for many years. We have really good music. Say yay. Yay. Yeah. Thank you. And, but with all of this, with you know, wonderful services, does that make us a light to our community? Well, I think it does to a degree. Except for this fact is that people have to come here in order to experience it. And that's, you know, that's with every church, I suppose. And when you have a service, you have to get people there. But we do to a certain degree. We share the light of Christ through services. We also care very much for children. Say amen. Students, say amen. All right, that's the last time I'll have you do that. And so we have Promised Land out there for the real little ones. We have Bethel Kids. We've got Bethel Student Ministries. We do these things very well, I think. But we're always trying to improve. We're always trying to reach more kids, trying to reach more students. Pastors Ben and Daniel and their teams do a great job. Emma Bell runs the Promised Land. And they have a heart for the kids that they minister to, and they really do. I am with these guys every week. They love the kids. And is this being a light to our community? Well, yeah, I think it is. But again, by and large, their families need to come to our church to be blessed by this, so they need to come up here. Well, what else do? We do special events very well. Whether it be Light Fest, which was fantastic. Val had a lot to do with that. Val Coleman and many others, her team. And, you know, we've done lots of Christmas plays. We've done Christmas musicals. which I think we've had a lot of really good ones that really did reach a lot of people. We've got dinner and a show. We got kids camp, student summer camp, seniors events like Gobble Till You Wobble, women's events like the Christmas brunch, and that's also led by Emma Bell and her team, women's team. Boy, we do so many events. All church fall kickoff barbecue, men's events like our monthly gatherings that are led by Rick Britton and his team. And these are all events that give you the opportunity to invite people to fun, entertaining. We try to make them fun. But along with that, inspirational, because we want to point to Jesus in the end, of course. And so it gives you opportunity to invite people. Do we shine the light of Christ in these events? I'm going to say yes. I certainly hope so. But there's much more that we can do. We also have our online presence with our website, Facebook, Instagram. Val and Steve Smale have a lot to do with that. That's a big ministry these days. Lots of churches, they have full-time people. That's all they do. I mean, that's the effect that that is having on our, in our world today. And there's so much more that I haven't mentioned that we do. We're actually a pretty busy church. And when I look at the calendar every month, I just shake my head and I go, okay, there's so much stuff happening. There's too much. Let's back off on some. But all these things I mentioned, they're pretty effective. And so it's hard to cut back on some things. So I'm going to say that in order for our congregation to grow, both spiritually and numerically, to have a greater effect on our community in terms of sharing the love of Christ, that there's something else that needs to be taking place. And so we're going to read this opening scripture again and the verses following. This is Jesus speaking. And so I'm going to read through verse 16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Let shine. That's what Jesus says. It's not just the church as a group, which is great, which is my favorite. I love it. I love it when we all work together. Whenever we have anything where we're all working together, it just, those are my favorite moments. I love it. And really, the church, I think, is the hope for our world. The local church. The local church. And that is you. But you might ask, well, how can I be a light to my world beyond the local church and just in my life individually? Individually. You might think, well, I'm shy. I'm insecure. These other people that are outgoing, they're the ones that are sharing Christ. What can I do? Well, I'm going to say something today that really might just change your life. Something that I discovered many years ago when I used to kind of worry about the same thing. I used to kind of feel guilty that I didn't share the gospel more. And I tell you, guilt isn't going to change anything in your life, okay? Conviction can, and then doing something about it. But what I'm going to say might take the pressure off of you for sharing the gospel. Not that you don't share the gospel, but that this is going to take the pressure off. And that is this. Just be you. Just be you. Sounds pretty simple. But be just who God has created you to be. No pressure. Just be you. Psalm 139, one of my favorite portions of Scripture. I read it fairly often, verses 13 and 14. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. What a glorious scripture. The scripture says that God made you exactly the way that he wanted. You are not an accident. The way you are is very much on purpose by God himself. You actually have been crafted. I love that word. Crafted by God. He purposely made you the way you are. Not, and you're different than any other person. That in and of itself is such a miracle to me. All the people throughout history, they're all different. All different. So since God thinks so much of you, we need to be who he's created us to be. But be you with his help, with his light, with his guidance. And when it comes to sharing your faith, being a light to the world, as it were, it's just be you. All right, so what do I mean by that? You could walk away from here and go, okay, just be me. Well, it goes a little deeper than that. So whatever personality you have, we've established that this was created by God. And, you know, somebody else who might bother you because of their personality. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about this. And there's things that affect us through life for sure. But God made them that way on purpose. Okay? And we all are different. Our personalities are all different. Your emotions, how your thought processes work, how your mind thinks, how you process information. Some of us do it really quick. Some of us, it takes a while. I wish I was super, super quick, especially with jokes. I'm one of those guys that can think about it a while and go, oh, I should have said this. And then it would have been really funny. And then the moment's passed and it's gone. I don't know if anybody else is that way. But when I think about it a long time, I can think of funny things. Okay. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says. You might look at other people and think, I wish I could be like them. I want to tell you, there's no accident that you are the way you are. And you're wonderful. You're created by God. Now, as I said, you know, there's life circumstances and situations that affect us. You know, sometimes we get filters in our lives through life situations, through circumstances, through tragedies that have happened. That happens. You know, and that affects how we interpret people sometimes. There's triggers in some of our lives. And sometimes a little PTSD when it comes to certain things that happen because of experiences you have had. It can be because of all kinds of things that happen in life. And that affects us. And I'm not up here to give any kind of a, you know, I'm no psychoanalyst or psychologist or whatever you want to call it. I'm not talking about that. That's just, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. But when we are allowing God to be the light in our life, it's the best version of you that there is. It seems to bypass all these weaknesses, all these insecurities, all these misinterpretations of things that fly by us. It bypasses that, and it causes us to be healthy socially. Because our weaknesses that I mentioned can make us unhealthy socially. But because God wants to work through you, it gives hope for all of us. And then you personally are going to have a tremendous effect on the world. Now, being a light for Christ in our world doesn't happen by osmosis. It's not just going to happen. Being who God has created you to be means allowing his light to shine through you. So we're going to start there. And he doesn't leave you or me alone to just figure it out. He's going to help us by his Spirit if you allow him to help you. Okay? So before Jesus said that we are the light of the world, he declared that he was the light. His light can shine through us. So some scriptures, John 1:1-4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of who? Of men. John 8:12 says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So when Jesus says that we are the light of the world, he can say this because our strength, our effectiveness for bringing people to him comes straight from him. Because he is that light of the world. We can be reflectors of that light, or depends how you want to look at it, reflectors of his light or conduits of that light. So what does that look like? How do I start? So before I give more instruction, let me share something that I experienced. And again, I share a lot about my life. I've had a lot of experiences through my life. And they come quickly to me. When I was a teenager into my early 20s, I wasn't born again, as most of you know. Really not even very close. I had a terrible foul mouth, I tell you. Nobody ever shocks me. I'll be golfing with these people, and they're wonderful people. But once in a while, you know, some things fly, and, you know, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, because they know that I'm a pastor. And I don't care. I just want to go, I've said worse than that. But it doesn't bother me. It's all right. So I wasn't born again. But people who were Christians, I got to be honest, were fairly obvious to me. I totally remember this. Later, when I would find out for sure that certain people were Christians, it was no surprise to me. It was fairly obvious. And it wasn't because they even said anything to me about it. I could just tell. Now, we would call these people straight. If somebody was a Christian, me and my buddies, you know, oh, that person's straight. We got to be careful what we say. Or that person's straight. We can't talk about this or that or do certain things in front of them. They're straight. And if you were to ask me, what does that mean? I go, well, they're probably religious. Well, I'm going to venture to say, and I've heard lots of messages that talk about, well, can people even tell you're a Christian? And there's value to messages like that. But I'm going to say, being there myself, if you have the mark of Jesus on you, and I think it's a good way to put it, because his Holy Spirit lives in you, then I really don't even think you have to try very hard for people to know that you're a Christian. Some of you may disagree with me. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you have the Holy Spirit coming and living inside of you, I think it's kind of hard to hide because he's powerful. Now, there's a whole other message that could go along with that, and I understand that as far as allowing God to be shown in our lives. But I could tell, and they didn't say a thing to me. And I could tell that they were believers in Christ. I wouldn't have called them that. But if you are saved, you do have the Spirit living in you, but you aren't living it. And we'll talk about that later. I mean, why would anybody want what you have? I just need to kind of clarify that at first. Why would anybody want what you've got if you aren't living it, or the joy from knowing God isn't in your life? Another subject. But in order to effectively be the light to our world, I'm going to list some three very basic things. First one is obvious. We got to first be saved. You got to first be saved. The Spirit comes to live within you. Okay? Romans 8, 9 says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." That's pretty simple. So when you're saved, when God saves you from sin, because that's what he's saving you from, it's purely a work that's been done by God by way of the cross and the blood of Christ. But living for him and being a witness for him is more than that. We have a responsibility. And I mentioned last Wednesday night on our first session of Can I Get a Witness? You're going to want to come to that. It was fantastic. The word witness is a Christianese word for sure, the way we use it. So, again, when I was first saved and I heard words like that, I didn't know what the world they were talking about. But I'll say that a witness has personal knowledge and experience of a person, place, thing, or event and is prepared to give evidence. Christians are witnesses to Jesus Christ because they know him. They experience his love and they testify to what he is up to in their lives, in the church and in the world. So if you are a Christ follower, you have received the knowledge of the forgiveness of your sins. And this knowledge in and of itself makes you a witness. You have something to share. You have something to share about this person of Jesus Christ. Because you've been forgiven of your sins and you know that. You know who did it. And so you have something incredible to share. Just because you've been forgiven of your sins. Second thing is, we must absorb God's word and pray to God. Simple things. Psalm 119, 130, I love this. "The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." So knowing God's word and praying to him, it gives us more knowledge of him and what he's doing in our lives. So this makes you an even greater witness. That means you understand what's going on. You understand what's happening, that you have this forgiveness of sins and you know why and you know who. And the more the word of God becomes a part of your thinking, okay? And the more that you pray, the more you're going to get to know him. You're going to have more to share. You've received this knowledge of the forgiveness of your sins. This knowledge in and of itself makes you a witness of Jesus Christ. And the word of God brings you understanding. When you share what God has done for you, you're going to do so with more understanding of who he is, because that's what you're sharing. You're sharing about how wonderful he is. It's really simple. I remember the first times that I was sharing about Christ, it wasn't because I had to. It was because I had all these friends, and all these friends didn't know Jesus, and I felt like I was let in on the secret of the world. And I had to tell them because I found out the truth. So I pretty much shook them and said, "Hey, listen, you know me. You know I'm not crazy. This is true." And I mean, I didn't know anything in the Bible, but I knew that I was forgiven of my sins. I knew that for sure. And so I was able to share that and say, "Oh, I feel like I'm light as a feather. It's like it's all been taken away from me. I feel like I'm a foot off the ground. You got to know this." Well, they looked at me like I was crazy, you know, but that's okay. That's okay. I was exuberant, and I had to learn a little wisdom in how to share a little bit. People at work didn't want to have their break time with me because I was, and that's the truth. Oh. All right. The third thing is that we must be prepared to share our testimony. And 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness." And I love those last two words. Share it with gentleness and respect. you know, not like me, just like this shotgun. You gotta do this. You gotta accept Christ. I remember doing that to my mom. My mom thought I was nuts, and she was Catholic. And I go, "You got a Catholic Bible here? Let me show you." Well, I'll never forget that because I had no idea where to show her anything. And I just kind of picked it up and shook it. That didn't go over very well. All right, so the thing is, so we need to be prepared. Know what God has done for you. Be able to share it in different ways. Maybe sometimes it's only a piece of it. Maybe a larger part of it. Whatever is called for at the moment. I want to challenge you with this too. Know at least one scripture verse. And there's many short ones. To share about how you are saved. A very simple one. The witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. There's many scriptures that are short, and if you should share something out of the Bible, not do it in a religious fashion, but just in conversation. It's being a witness. What have you seen? What do you know about Jesus? Being prepared to share this. Our first person who shared their testimony on Wednesday nights, this is what we're going to be doing for a little while. You're going to find out about people that you may know or don't know, but don't know their stories. I learned a whole lot about Sue Beeman on Wednesday, and it was fantastic. And the greatest thing that she shared to me is that when she got all done, I shouldn't say the greatest thing, it's just that the overriding purpose of what she had to say, repeatedly, she would stop and say, "Isn't God wonderful?" And that's why we're doing it. When she got all done, I was like, well, I learned a lot about Sue, but I learned more about God. About what God does in different situations and what he can do. It's wonderful. Psalm 96:3 says, "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples." Exclamation point. So I'm going to read it differently. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. Because he's wonderful. He's marvelous. He's incredible. We're to share that God is glorious. I love this way of looking at it. Come and see this amazing God. Come and see. Come and see. He's wonderful. And that should be our attitude. Come and see. Earlier, I shared about people in my life before I was a Christian, people who I figured were Christians. Sometimes these people made me uncomfortable. And I need to say that that's okay. Sometimes you being a Christian is going to make someone uncomfortable. There's nothing you can do about that because what you're talking about, if they are not a Christian, is going to be foreign to them and may not be the way they are living, probably won't be. And that's okay. But it's not always uncomfortable. Not always. Like my next door neighbor, and I've shared this before, but I think it's a good time to share it again. My next door neighbor, who I never did find out his name, because I can't remember it, was a Nazarene youth pastor. Praise God for the Nazarenes. Say amen. Yes. All right. Know lots of good Nazarene people. He was a Nazarene youth pastor. I never even thought about that. I thought about it later and thought, oh, yeah, he was a Nazarene youth pastor. But he would come over and just talk to me. And I remember, especially when I would be out washing my car. At the time, you know, I hadn't had very nice cars. They're pretty much junkers. That's all I could afford. And this one, although certainly not in great shape. It was a Pontiac Le Mans, and it was it used to be a cop car, and it was all white, so it wasn't white and black. It was all white, and man, that thing could move, and I loved that car. I had a great stereo in it, and so I would be out washing my car, and so my next door neighbor would come over, and I would always be drinking beer, and probably had a pretty good buzz going when he would come over. But he didn't care. He would just come over and just talk to me, but just talk to me like I'm talking to you. And it wasn't religious. It wasn't anything like that. And he would just talk to me, and he did it quite a few times. And then when he found out that I was a musician and I had a band and all that stuff, well, then he kind of changed his tactics a little bit. And then he brought over different albums for me to listen to. So he brought me a Kansas album. Now, I don't really think about Kansas as really being that much of a Christian band, but they had a few songs that led that direction. I think they might have had a few people in the band that became Christians. He had this knowledge. So he wanted me to listen to certain songs. But again, even when he did that, it wasn't offensive. It was just him being himself. He wasn't trying to be a youth pastor. He wasn't trying to be a pastor. He was just talking to me. And I didn't even think about him being a pastor. I didn't know what pastors did. All I knew was priests, you know. And anyway, we won't go there. Not saying being a priest is bad. It's good. Known some good ones. But anyway, that's how he was to me. And then after he had shared with me quite a few times, and we just kind of had this relationship, I think I went to his house one time, just kind of looked around a little bit. He had to go get something or whatever, so I knew him. I was at an A&W restaurant in Albany, Oregon, and there he was. He just happened to be in there. And I said, he said, "Hey, you want to have lunch just together here?" And I was by myself. I said, "Okay, that's fine." So he sat there, and he started talking to me, and I go, "All right, let's hear it. Lay it on me. What do you got? Tell me about this, Jesus." So he did. And we had a long conversation. I had all these questions. What about the dinosaurs? You know. I just remember asking that one in particular. How about evolution? You know, all these questions. Well, this doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. And he so calmly answered me. If he didn't know answers, it was okay. I don't even remember being bothered by that. I was like, that's okay. For me, if someone's genuine, that's all. That's all I ask for. Be honest. Just be genuine. You know, don't try to lay something on me that you don't believe. Or try to be something that you're not. So he was just himself. And he became a sincere friend to me, but I can't even remember his name. But, you know, when he came over and I'd be partying, you know, drinking, whatever, he didn't sacrifice himself in how he lived. He didn't, you know, party with me, you know. He just talked to me, and he did not care. And I'll never forget it. For as long as I live, he didn't lead me to Christ. Well, he did. He led me a lot farther. And he basically said over a period of time, "Come and see. Come and see this incredible God that I know. And he actually created you." I'm going to talk at some point, possibly next week. I've got somewhat of a message in the works. that when you're sharing with somebody, there's different stages that people are at. I can remember people talking to me about Jesus when I was not interested in the least. And I was just like, get me out of here. But there were times where I would listen. I would listen, and it's like my eyes were starting to be opened a little bit. I can look back now and see that. I got crazy stories, but I'm not going to share them today. I get myself in trouble. My wife's not here today, so she's not there to go, don't do it. There are different stages, and so when you're talking to somebody, sometimes people, they're not at a place of listening to you. As a matter of fact, it's like they couldn't even tell you what you just said. It's like you're not even talking anything that makes sense. But then there's other times when it's like their eyes are opened a little bit and they start to listen just a little. And they'll start to ask a few questions. That's kind of another stage. Prayer has a lot to do with that. Prayer has a lot to do when somebody starts to listen. Okay? We'll talk about that later. So today, if I get the worship team to come up, that'd be great. Today, this is the point. In sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and being a witness for him and being a light to your world that Jesus asked us to be you. Be the best you can be. And the way to be the best you that you can be is to let Jesus shine his light through you. And that's getting to know him. And there's a lot more to talk about. There's obedience. There's prayer. There's how to lead someone to Christ who's ready. There's a lot of things to talk about. But it'll take the pressure off if you realize, I don't have to be a great orator. I don't have to know all of the Bible. Really, all you need to know is Jesus. That's where to start. Because if you know Jesus, you got something to share. You may not know, even if you're just brand new, you've accepted Christ and you understand that he forgave you of your sins, you got something to share. Because now your life has changed. Now your life has changed. So here's a great way to start in this first message. I want you to think about this. You might think, well, I don't really run into people. I don't really run into people that need to hear the gospel. Yeah, you do. Sure you do. And I want you to ask God. It's kind of a scary prayer because he'll do it. Ask God. Say, Lord, will you please put somebody in my path? Somebody in my world. And I'm going to be looking. I want you to put somebody in my path that needs Jesus and help me, Lord. Help me to say what I should say, what I shouldn't say, but help me, Lord. And I want to tell you something. If our church is going to grow and see many more people saved, we have several people that have been saved in recent weeks. I know them. And in the last year. If we're going to see more of that, it's going to be through you. And no pressure. Just be you. Just be you. Let Jesus shine his light through you. And just share the good things that he's done. Are you okay with that? All right. This is our beginning. All right. So we're going to sing a song here to close us. I speak that long? Goodness sakes, that clock must be wrong. All right, let's all stand up. So I'd just like you to pray a simple prayer with me. And this is just about First of all, I'm going to share that if you have never accepted Jesus, of course, we're going to pray that. That's where to start. It's going to be the most glorious thing that ever happened to you. And the second thing is we're going to ask God to use us. And if he does already use you and you share Christ regularly, fantastic. Help others to do the same. So, Lord, we just want to pray today, Lord, that if we don't know Jesus, if we never accepted your forgiveness of our sins, the things we have done wrong, Lord God, and said, Jesus, forgive me. I accept your forgiveness from the cross. Lord, today would be the day, and just to pray that prayer that I ask you to forgive me of my sins. It's as simple as that. I've done wrong. I need your help. Please forgive me. I want to do right. And then, Lord, for everybody else who already knows Jesus, dear God, plant it upon our hearts to know you. Plant it upon our hearts to share. To share with someone. It might just be a few words. It might just be, God really helped me. God really got me through a tough time. He's wonderful. Lord, pray that for all of us. And we begin to look and begin to say, God, put somebody in my path today to share. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.